Good morning.
Good morning.
So a couple things, just kind of bookkeeping as we get ready this morning. So as Dave was kind of explaining, he was in the hospital and we kind of found out, you know, I don't know, it was like Thursday that just he needed somebody to fill in the gaps. And so my pleasure to be here. It's going to be low tech this morning. There's not going to be any slides or anything like that, but that's okay. If you got your Bibles, turns out you have everything you need this morning to follow along with the sermon. Good news. So open them, power them up, unscroll them, whatever kind of Bible you have with you this morning. And if you land somewhere in Galatians chapter 3, you'll be good for this whole morning. We're going to be exploring what Paul wrote here in his letter in Galatians chapter 3. And we'll kind of get to that in just a moment. Number two, the children are here this morning. And I always just want everyone to know, especially the visitors or anyone that's here for the first time, kids are kids, right? They get a little nutty and they get a little crazy. And the great thing is I got three wonderful children myself, And I roll with it. It's going to be perfectly fine. It's important for us to just recognize that children really are a blessing. And so when we hear the children in our church, man, what a blessing that is. So it's okay. They'll get a little crazy, although Claudia hooked them up this morning. Sure. We'll know when the gummies wear out. That's the truth, for sure. But this morning, we're going to kind of be exploring Galatians chapter 3. You know, New Year always brings with us this desire to make resolutions, desires to get ourselves back on track, a desire to get back to some of the disciplines that might have been true in our lives at one point. And with that becomes this renewed sense of trying to really rededicate ourselves to following Christ. What we're going to read this morning in Galatians chapter 3, however, is a reminder of why the things that are fundamental to our faith and core to what we believe are things that we never need to lose sight of. As we begin to kind of start looking at re-bringing in these disciplines and all these different kinds of things that were true about us at one point, but for whatever reason we got away from, or whatever, you know, things have changed in our lives, and now those disciplines of prayer, reading your Bible, whatever it is, it's becoming less true in our lives. And so we always come to the new year trying to figure out a new way to do the things that we feel that we should be doing in our lives. And in chapter 3 of Galatians, Paul reminds us of making sure that we never forget the fundamentals of our faith. One of the guys that really harped on the fundamentals is a guy by the name of Vince Lombardi. He's a guy that took nothing for granted, and he began this tradition with his football teams of always starting from scratch every single year and just kind of assuming that all of his players were blank slates. And he always began every single football year with the most fundamental thing that they needed to understand. What he would do is he would get up in front of his team, he would hold a football, and he would say to his team, "This is a football." Because he wanted them to understand the most basic things. And he had this belief that you couldn't do anything else if you didn't have those fundamentals down pat. And so he began with the statement, "This is a football." Lombardi was coaching a group of 36 professional athletes who just months prior had come within minutes of winning the biggest prize their sport could offer. And yet, the very next year, he started from the very beginning. Lombardi's methodical coverage of the fundamentals continued throughout training camp. Each player reviewed how to block and how to tackle. They opened up the playbook and they started from page one. At some point, Max McGee, the Packers Pro Bowl wide receiver, joked, "Coach, can you slow down just a little bit? You're going too fast for us." And Lombardi reportedly cracked a smile, but he continued with his obsession with the basics all the same. His team would then become the best in the league at the tasks everyone else took for granted. See, mastery in nearly any endeavor is a result of deeply understanding simple ideas. And for most of us, the answer to becoming better leaders, better parents, better friends, better people is consistently practicing the fundamentals. And it's not trying to come up with new, brilliant ways, but really making sure that we ground ourselves in the most basic things. And for us Christians, as we come to this new year of desiring to rededicate ourselves to Christ, the danger is to start thinking that there's something that we just haven't discovered yet. There's something that we're missing. There's something that we need to add to what we're doing. And in Galatians chapter 3, this is the thing that Paul speaks against fervently. And in Galatians chapter 3, it's this is a football type passage that's supposed to remind us of what's most important and the thing that we can't forget. So as we turn to chapter 3, just a couple of things to help ground us in the text of what we have here. This letter is to a church in Galatia, of course, which is really a series of churches that existed in Turkey. When this letter went to the church of Galatia, it didn't go to a single church, but to multiple churches that was found in the region. And Paul had preached in this area previously. So this is an area that in one of his ministries, it took him through. He planted churches, raised up leaders, and preached the gospel to them and gave them the foundation of what they needed to launch their faith and to follow Christ in everything that they do. But sometime after he had been in this church and sometime later, a new group of people moved into the region and started preaching a different kind of gospel. They're referred to as Judaizers. And what they would do is they would come into this area and they would say, you know, if you really want to be a true Christian, if you really think you want to find salvation, it's not just the gospel that Paul preached to you, but it's actually the gospel plus this over here. And for them, this over here was the Jewish traditions, the Jewish customs. It was the different rituals and festivals on the calendar. It was circumcision, which was a very, very hot topic in the early church, where they were trying to figure out, you know, we're this new creation in Christ, but what about all these things that the law brought us? And so this was a contentious issue that Paul was fighting against. And all of Galatians is really just speaking out against this idea that salvation is found in the gospel plus something else. Now, I think the danger that comes when you read this letter and when you understand what was kind of at the heart of the argument, there's a danger for you and I to kind of tune out, right? Because circumcision is not a thing, right? That seems to be a very settled thing in our culture. We understand that it has nothing to do with our salvation. But it misses the danger that you and I fall into, that oftentimes in our lives, we do very similar things. We think that it's the gospel plus something else in our lives. And the danger is the longer you walk in your faith, the higher the chance that you think that it really is not just the gospel. There's got to be something else that brings me salvation. The longer you walk in your faith, the longer you deal with sin, the longer you deal with the guilt that's in your life, you begin to think that there's something I got to do to make it up to God. There's something I have to do to make this right. There's something that I'm missing that I need to add into my walk with Christ. And you begin to end up in a very similar spot that these people that this letter is addressed to. So don't tune out. And really this idea of the gospel plus something else that they're struggling with, it's an invitation to all of us to reflect upon the same thing. Am I taking the gospel? And am I adding anything to that gospel in order to find my salvation, my righteousness, my justification in the eyes of the Lord? And so this is what Paul was dealing with in this letter. And the letter is fantastic. He pulls no punches. Right in the first chapter, he says, "I'm astonished you're so quickly deserting the one who you call to live in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel, which is really no gospel at all. Evidently, some people are throwing you into confusion and trying to pervert the gospel of Christ." And this is another really fascinating thing. And again, another thing for us to reflect upon. It's not like these people were held at gunpoint to kind of start following this false gospel. They were convinced that this was the right gospel. There was a persuasive argument that was being made that, yeah, that sounds right to me. What Paul said, that's not right, but what these people are over here saying, that sounds right. And so their hearts were persuaded to go towards this false gospel. Same thing with us, that we have to be on watch out for constantly. Am I dedicating my life to the true gospel? Is the steps that I take in my faith, are the foundation of those steps, is that the gospel? And so before we even get into chapter 3, just reflecting upon the issues that this church was dealing with and the challenges that Paul was preaching against, there are opportunities for us to reflect similarly. Are I, in my steps, are they aligned to the gospel? And have I put my life and staked my life on the gospel and nothing else? We get into chapter 3 here, and we start to see where Paul is really trying to right the ship here. The first couple of chapters is really just speaking out against things, but in chapter 3 is, again, this is a football-type statement where he's really trying to help us understand something very important about the gospel. Let's read through this and let's see what God has for us here. Paul says here, "You foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? Before your very eyes, Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed as crucified. I would like to learn just one thing from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by believing what you heard? Are you so foolish? After beginning by the means of the Spirit, are you now trying to finish by means of the flesh? Have you really experienced so much in vain, if it really was in vain? So again, I ask, does God give you his Spirit and work miracles among you by the works of the law or by believing what you heard? So also Abraham believed God and was credited to him as righteousness." And so right here, in the very first verse, in first verse and second verse, he really starts off with, you know, besides the throwing shade at them, where he calls them foolish Galatians, he's kind of establishing some real quick theology here, right? Who bewitched you before your eyes? Christ was clearly portrayed as crucified. And he kind of is reminding them, this is what I preached to you. This is what you heard, that Christ was crucified. That is the thing that our faith is founded on. Here, it's like a one-liner, but what he's referring to is the gospel. Now, the gospel is not really laid out fully here, but the gospel is at the heart of everything that he's preaching about here. The gospel, very simply, is that we were created to serve God, but we rebelled against God, and in our sin, we were thrown out of the garden, and we became estranged from God. And because of our sin, now we deserve eternal separation from God or hell. But thanks be to God, he sent Christ for us. He lived, he died on a cross, he was resurrected, and because he was resurrected, now we can be forgiven of our sins and enjoy life through Christ. That is the gospel that he is trying to show them here. And it's a one-liner there. Like, clearly I told you about Christ crucified, but it's really referencing the entire gospel. And that gospel is what our faith is founded on. But in verse 2, he says something here that I think a lot of Christians miss. And a lot of Christians need to be reminded of constantly of what is so important to our faith. Here he makes a statement that he wants to learn just one thing from you. Did you receive the Spirit by works of the flesh or believing what you have heard? Are you so foolish that after beginning by means of the Spirit, are you now trying to finish by means of the flesh? And see, this right here, friends, is where I think for most of us, we need to be reminded constantly of what the gospel is and the impact that it's supposed to have in our lives and what the gospel does throughout our entire walk with Christ. For some of us, the gospel is something that happened once in your life. You came to know God through the gospel and you came to know Christ. And it was a remarkable thing. And it was only in the gospel that could do that, right? What has the power to transform hearts other than the gospel of Jesus Christ, right? What we often do, though, is that's a one-time event that happens in our lives where we come to know God through the gospel. And then what often happens is that we move on from there and we kind of think that the gospel is a one-time event. And now we move on to the next thing, the next thing, and the next thing. And we're trying to figure out, how do I get better at praying? How do I get better at reading my Bible? How do I get better with dealing with all these issues in my life? How do I deal with the anger that I'm struggling with? How do I deal with the broken relationships that I have in my life? How do I become a better husband? How do I become a better father? And we start looking at all these areas of our lives. And we look at all these things that we're struggling with. And all these things that we're coming up short in. And we begin to look for everything and every kind of clever way of going about that. Some kind of clever helps, you know, three-step helping to that. Different things that I think we need to do. We think we just need to try harder, right? Maybe it's a willpower thing. Maybe I'm just not trying hard enough. Maybe I'm not waking up soon. Maybe I'm not doing this right. And Paul says very clearly here in verse number 3, why are you beginning by the means of the Spirit, but now trying to complete or finish in the flesh? This is a football. That's what that statement is right there. And that is something that all of us cannot forget. As we kind of go into this new year trying to figure out, how do I deal with the anger that I can't control in my life? The answer to that is to look at that through the lens of the gospel. And to look at what the gospel says about these things in my life, when it's either, whether it's anger, whether it's, you know, parenting, whether it's the relationships in my life. And look at that through the lens of the gospel. When we begin to look at that anger and we start to think through the gospel in our lives and how Jesus came to die for us for every single sin, and he comes to redeem every part of our lives, even the anger in it, and how through his power and through his gospel, we're able to actually look at that sin properly and find the strength to overcome it. That's what the gospel is meant to do. And that's why it is such a fundamental thing to who we are as followers of Christ. Whatever it is in your life that this new year you want to tackle, don't look at that as something that is a lack of willpower, a lack of motivation, a lack of whatever, as if there's something that you need to do to overcome that lacking and that gap in your life. Paul says very clearly in verse 3, it is the gospel that you start with, it is the gospel that you finish with. It is the gospel that transforms us. See, we know this clearly, right? Because there's friends and family in our lives that we want to see come to know who Christ is. We want the gospel to transform and pierce their lives. We want the gospel to be something that they accept. We know it has that power, but some reasons we forget that the gospel doesn't just transform our heart once, but it transforms our heart continuously. The gospel is fundamental to not just the one point in your life when you started following Christ, but to every single moment that comes after that. In every area of your life that you're trying to align closer and closer to God and to the life of Christ, it is through the gospel that transformation happens. There's a term that comes up a lot in the Galatian, well, it doesn't come up, but it's a concept that's understood here quite a bit. And that is simply that this term of legalism is something that Paul is kind of speaking out against quite a bit. He speaks out against it all throughout this book, but it's a term that I think has a very broad understanding and a lot of different ways to define it. But just simply put, legalism, it's anything that we try to solve or fix on our own power and own might. Anything that we try to accomplish by ourselves. And it's important to understand that for us, legalism is a thing that we struggle with often, where we try to add something to the gospel to become a better Christian or a more whole Christian. And here, this is what Paul is trying to speak very clearly, that Christians are not just saved by the gospel, but we grow by the gospel too, as we apply it to every single area of our lives. He moves on from there into verse 6 down to verse 9. And after kind of laying this truth on the listeners, this idea of how the gospel is so important, he then moves on to give an example of how just believing in the gospel, that belief and putting your faith in the gospel, why it's so powerful, and an example with Abraham to show the truth of that promise. He says here in verse 6, "So also Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Understand then that those who have faith are children of Abraham. Scripture foresaw that God would justify the Gentiles by faith and announce the gospel in advance to Abraham. All nations will be blessed through you. So those who rely on faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith." Now, this right here is a brilliant move by Paul. One of those things where he just injects in just a couple of verses the story of Abraham, but how that story and that bringing that in just really sheds so much light on what he's trying to help them understand here. Abraham is a man of faith, but why is he a man of faith? Why is he credited as a man of righteousness? It's because simply he believed and trusted in the promises of God. And what he's doing in here is a direct quote that his righteousness is credited to him because he believed in God in verse 6. It's a direct quote to that about how his righteousness really came about by just believing in the promises of God. And so here, he is trying to give the example of linking a placing your faith and belief in the gospel to be your righteousness, to be your salvation, to the story of Abraham, and how him placing his faith in the promises of God was the thing that credited him with righteousness. Now again, it's a brilliant move on Paul to bring this in, because when you think about the story of Abraham, one of my favorite things to say, good guy, bad guy. Yeah. Yes. He's got a lot of flaws, right? And there's a lot of things about Abraham's story that are very, very messy. And there's a lot of things about his story that are incredible, right? The incredible things that happened in his life, the incredible things that he did to birth a nation, the things that God did through the life of Abraham to advance his story, to bring him a child late in age, to bring him out of a foreign nation and establish him as a brand new country. All these things that God did through Abraham are incredible. And every time Abraham tried to do anything in his own strength, his own willpower, his own capacity, how did that turn out? Not so great, if you read the story. And so it's a brilliant example for Paul to bring in here, how just placing his faith in the promises of God, as it says in Genesis 15, is what credits him as being righteous. The same in our lives, that when we just simply place our faith in the gospel and the promises that the gospel brings, that is when we are credited as being righteous and justified in the eyes of God. And what happens every time you and I try to move forward in our own strength, our own willpower, our own motivation? Not so good, right? The story of Abraham is a great story to really just hammer home how, friends, it is really just the gospel and nothing else that brings transformation in our lives, the thing that makes us righteous before God. He then contrasts the story of Abraham with understanding the person that puts his faith in the law, puts his faith in the flesh, puts his faith in his own willpower, own accomplishments, own motivation. He says here in verse 10 down to the end, "For all who rely on the works of the law are under a curse, as it is written. Cursed is everyone who does not continue to do everything written in the book of the law." Clearly, no one who relies on the law is justified before God, because the righteous will live by faith. The law is not based on faith. On the contrary, it says, the person who does these things will live by them. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, "Cursed is everyone who is hung on a pole." He redeemed us in order that the blessing given to Abraham might come to the Gentiles through Christ Jesus, so that by faith we might receive the promise of the Spirit. Now, what a rich set of verses that is. You got great doctrine in there, some great points about what Christ has done for us, how Christ has kind of taken our place and fulfilled the law. There's a lot there, but the one thing I want to kind of focus in on here, because all that is true, but the one thing I want you to see here and focus in on is just what is true of the person who puts themselves under the book of the law. What is true of the person that tries to accomplish anything in this life by their own flesh? They're cursed. It's a curse that you do that. And this is one of the sad things about when we start to get to this point where we take the gospel and we try to add something to it. We take the gospel and we think, "Oh, I'm just not doing this enough. I need to get better at this. I need to do this. I need to do that. My salvation requires me to also add this on and do this and do that." When we start to get to that place, Paul would say to us that, man, that is not a blessing, but rather a curse to live your life that way. He uses language elsewhere in the book of Galatians that it actually becomes a thing that embonds you or puts you into slavery. He talks about how living your life that way by the flesh actually puts you under a yoke. For us, when we start to try and do anything in the flesh, it always comes from a good place, right? Because we're dealing with guilt, we're dealing with regret, we're dealing with all these things, and we want to deal with this, we want to get right with God, we want to change our lives around, we want to live for Christ. And so we start to see ourselves as a path forward being something that I have to do, something that I have to accomplish. But Paul would say that line of thinking is actually a curse. And will actually put you in slavery. And what we ought to do is to actually just put our faith in the gospel and nothing else. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 1, I kind of think that right there is the big summary of the book. If nothing else, reading chapter 5, verse 1, in light of this challenge of the gospel plus something else, us adding things to our faith that God never intended us to, us trying to find our own strength and own willpower to accomplish things that can only be accomplished in the Spirit. When we understand very clearly that it's the gospel that transforms our hearts, not just at one point in our life, but from here on out, every single day, is the gospel that's continually transforming our hearts and minds, then chapter 5, verse 1 becomes true. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. And stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. The gospel has set us free. And when we begin to understand the gospel and how it transforms us and how it motivates us, when we understand that God loves us so, so much that he sent his son to die on the cross and he was resurrected so that we can have life, that is the motivation. That is our strength. That is the faith that we walk by. And when we begin to do that, and when we begin to allow the gospel to transform every single area of our lives, then we experience the freedom of Christ. And then we begin to find the joy that is found when we are actually moving forward with Christ in the gospel. New year, new you. Everyone has probably the sense of, I'm going to read my Bible every single day. Here we go, right? Where's your reading plan from last year? Did you get past Genesis? Your prayer life. We want to pray every single day. We're going to be prayer warriors, watch out world, right? Great. And to be very careful here, these disciplines and these spiritual practices, they're important, and they're something that we should be doing in our lives. We should be praying. We should be reading the Word. We should be restoring, redeeming relationships around us. We should be praying for that those around us come to know Christ. But let the motivation, let the foundation of all that change in our life, and let the thing that motivates us and transforms our life, let it be the gospel. Let us start by the Spirit, but as Paul would say to us, let us finish in the Spirit as well. Because it is the Spirit of God that will actually transform us and help us become the people that Christ has created us to be. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. God, thank you so much for just an awesome morning, an awesome word. God, we just pray that as we move through the new year, God, we just pray that the gospel is at the foundation of everything that we do. We never lose sight of that. Lord, there are so many things in this life, evil forces, demonic what or otherwise, culture, everything that is trying to move us away from the truth of the gospel. Things that come to our life that try to add to it or change it or reshape it. And I pray, Lord, that this year we would resist that, and Lord, that we would just place our faith in the gospel alone. Lord, we just thank you so much for what Jesus did on the cross and just everything that he blessed us with through that act. And I just pray, Lord, that you do transform our hearts this year. And Lord, that we do walk closer to you. We just pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.